Correcto.
So sort of one last point left over from yesterday's sugya, and then we'll try to move into the really segue into today's new sugya. So we've been spending a lot of time discussing about why Chazal was so machmir vis-a-vis chametz to insist on bedikas chametz, something that we don't find a parallel in other isurim. So we had a whole series of different approaches. We had Rashi's approach back to the first sugya that it wasn't the chumrah of Chazal; it was the chumrah of Torah. It was a concern by Rabbi Motzei. But Tosus didn't think that was true. Tosus thought by Rav Motzei issues were long solved with Bittul. The concern was with the Rabban and Shem Yavel Yochlo, which of course forces the question, Manish Tanach Chabas of other Yisurim. So we saw two different approaches yesterday, the approach of the Balei Tosus, the approach of the Ran, as to what is it that differentiates between Chametz and other things. So Tosus focused primarily on the psychological concern of Lobedila Minei, that people don't separate themselves from chametz, that people are more likely to fall into chametz, specifically because it's permissible the rest of the year. And then Tosus also a little bit later moved on to the Bayura part. We'll get to that in a moment. But Tosus focuses primarily on the Labadila Mine, is the only factor. And the Ran says that's true. That's a factor, but it's not the only factor. That is combined with the severity of the prohibition of Kares, put together those two factors, then you have the result of Gezer Rishon Yavel Yachol, the requirement of Bdikas Chametz. But then the Rishon took a little bit of a turn. Then the Rishon brought back to life a little bit by Rav Matzeh. Not Rashi's way of bringing it back, that is the reason for Bdikas Chametz. No, that's not true. The reason for Bdikas Chametz is Shem Yavel Yachol. By Rav Matzeh is a barometer to measure just how serious chametz is. Something that the Torah takes such concern and such care about that creates an issur. The Torah creates an issur by Rabbi Moses, something that is unknown in other areas of halacha. That goof is the chumrah. Not the psychological part, the lobedilinei. Not even the kares part. Of course, we don't know the issur also of kares. This is the real factor. The emes factor is the chumrah of Torah by Rabbi Moses. That's the engine that's driving this gezeirah. Now, to add on to this, the Ran, in the very end, in the ninth of the Mamakamos, the Ran throws out literally a curveball. The Ran says, the very last line of the Ran, "B'efshar od, if possible, shebipnei tam zeh, hechmir ha-Torah bo, lava lo b'vai Rabbi Motzi." The Ran always combines the two, and he says as follows. He says that we know that chometz is so chomor, we know that it is a karis, and we know psychologically you're going to fall in. And we know this by Rabbi Motzei. Up until now, we've been discussing on a level of the Rabbanan, why did Chazal institute Bedikas Chometz the Rabbanan when they didn't institute other Bedikos? Now the Ran says, let's push the question back. Why did the Torah institute the Chumrah by Rabbi Motzei? The truth is, by Rabbi Motzei is a startling thing. We don't find anywhere else in the Torah, except maybe Avodah Zarah, that a person is not even allowed to own it. I'm allowed to have chazir in my house. I'm allowed to have bas mechav in my house. Comes the Torah and says, Shivas yom so'ol ebitzei batechem. There's one lav and another lav. And the mitzvah says, Sef tashbisu. The Torah tells us time and time again, get rid of every remnant of mechavis from the houses on Pesach. Why? What is that all about? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, why? Kashua, what? Why do we show for Rosh Hashanah? Why do we face it? A lot of it's not Torah. It's not a why kind of a question. But the Ran says, no, we're going to ask that question. We're going to pose the question, why? My high that the Torah created such a chumrah by Rav Matzeh, unknown to us in other areas of halacha, responds the Ran, the Torah itself was gozer. The Torah itself decreed as a safeguard, lest you come to eat the chametz. Now, the idea of gezeiros is something that we're familiar with from the world of the Rabbanim. These asusiyah l'Torah, the Chacham have a responsibility. It's a dim in that Torah that the Chacham have to make gezeiros. So, for example, we're not going to blow shofar on Shabbos. Why? Gezeiros should be have been out Amos, which is a rabbi. You don't move your pencil on Shabbos. Gezeiros, you make up the right with your pencil. You don't eat chicken and milk. Gezeiros, you can make, eat meat and milk. So gezeiros are things that we know. The whole area, the whole body of Allah, of the abundance of gezeiros. Says the Ran, every once in a while, we bump into what's called the gezeiros deraisa, siyag deraisa. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu himself institutes a certain iser, so that it doesn't lead to something more serious down the line. Says the Rav, there's nothing per se, there's nothing objectively wrong with owning Chametz in Pesach. There's nothing that's absolutely antithetical to Pesach, the mere owning of Chametz. It's a gezeiras haTorah, it's a siyag haTorah, kedei shlo yavor b'achivas Chametz. And why did the Torah, not the Rabban, why did the Torah make such a serious gezeira here and nowhere else? Because of all the reasons that we've been saying, we spoke about that it's kareis, that it's lobadivin, all the factors combined together, not just in the eyes of the chachamim, but in the world of the Torah itself. So the Ran has just told us a tremendous, tremendous solution, tremendous insight with these words of the Ran, is that this idea of the dikas chametz and chumen de chametz and everything we've been talking about, why the rabbanim are so machmir, the rabbanim chol the tikkun, rabbanim kein the reis the tikkun. Don't blame us. It means we're taking our cues from the Ran Shalom. The Baal Shem himself put so many chumras into the system of chametz, dafka because the stakes are so high, dafka because the consequences are so serious. Just as the Torah instituted chumras and gezeiros and siyagim, and we call those by Rabbi Motzei, so too with the Rabbanan, they followed suit and beefed it up a little bit and heightened it a little bit and said that even though you did bittul and technically speaking it's okay, but you know what? Let's go the extra mile. Let's do bedikah and beer as well. So the Ran really completes the entire picture that bedikah's chametz is a chumrah. Bedikah's chametz is a chumrah that really is not applicable to other isurim. And part of the reason why we're so machmir, not just because we thought to be more machmir, but the Torah itself actually insists on following that kind of an approach. So now, let's move into the next sugya, into sugya number 3. It's a very, very natural progression, logical continuation of the previous sugya. What we've been focusing on the last couple of days is why do we have the mitzvah derabanan of bedikas chametz? And according to the world of Shem Yovel Yochlo, putting Rashi aside for now, going back to the world of Tosas and the Ran Shem Yovel Yochlo, we have really two different reasons, two different ways to identify what the chumrah of chametz is all about. Either the chumrah is basically focusing on lobadilimineh, it's purely psychology, since you eat chametz all year long, you don't eat it for 7 days, therefore let's make a gezeira. What do I say? No, it's the chumrah shemo of chametz, the bayura shemo of chametz, it's those characteristics of chametz that make us make these gezeiras. My nafkamina. At the end of the day, we only make the bits of bedikas chametz for chametz. There's no bedikas bas b'chol, not how you slice it. Cares practically whether we're focusing on the psychological concern of lobadilimineh or whether we're focusing on the halachic severity of Bayer Rabbi Matzei. So come to Rishon and say, I'll give you an afkamina. Lechora, a very, very good afkamina would be, what if I could find for you, it may take a little bit of creativity, what if I could find for you a type of chametz that for some technical reason happens not to be subject to the rules of Bayer Rabbi Matzei? Now, that may be easier said than done, but if I'll find you such a type of a chametz that just for some quirk, some technicality, there's nobody rabbi about said this chametz. On the other hand, you're not allowed to eat it. And it's quite possible, in this or their eyes, you'd eat it, but it's not by rabbi about said. Will we be required to look and to destroy, to remove such chametz? So if you hold that the engine behind B'dikas chametz is lo b'dilimineh, come Pesach, 7 days, you can't eat chametz, what? Anything that's in that category of you can't eat it for 7 days, but the rest of the year before this you can eat it, that spells trouble. That's already cause for a red flag. That requires, that kicks in bedikas chametz. So if I have a particular kind of a food that I can't eat for Pesach, I can't eat before, can't eat after, but I can't eat on Pesach, I don't care whether you're going to come up with a shtickle razzle dazzle tire and tell me, oh, by the way, there's nobody rovei matzah in that chametz for some technicality. It doesn't interest me. If this is a chametz that's psychologically prone to lobadilimineh, that spells trouble, and that equals a chia bedikas chametz. But if you're going to tell me that the engine driving bedikas chametz is the chumras by rovei matzah, it's not psychology driving it, it's halacha that's driving it. The Bach of Yeshiva always know, is this a pre-3 o'clock or post-3 o'clock? Because in Yeshiva, the cutoff point between learning and the secular studies is 3 o'clock. So it's pre-3 o'clock or post-3 o'clock. The only problem is these days, it's very hard to make that line in Yeshiva because the schedules are such as have caters. I'm not sure what the end, but not sure what the big Kurdish Lechol is when the learning ends, when classes start. I have all my Bachim across a wide array of time zones. So I say Shir every morning for some of the Bachim are alive and in the shul. We have our social distance set up based medicine in the shul for some of the local boys. But then the robe of the shiur is on Zoom. It's the same. We say we're a hybrid model. We're the best hybrid model around. So the only problem with my hybrid model in yeshiva is that I have some Bachar from California and I have one Bachar from London. So one guy, it's the middle of the night, and for the other guys, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So, and the strangest thing is that they learn B'chavusa. The London boy and the LA boy, for some reason, I don't know how that works out exactly, but they have to learn B'chavusa over Zoom. So it's a strange thing. So the bottom line is, it's either pre-sum o'clock or post-sum o'clock, not sure when, but is this a Torah Amada kind of a problem? What is the engine driving the Mitzvah Chometz? Is it the pure halacha by Rabbi Matzah? Or is it the psyche, the psychological issue of lo b'dili b'nei? So the nafkamina will be the chametz that psychological is lo b'dili b'nei, but halachically is not quite by Rabbi Matzah. So if we take a look at the first in Rambam Kabbos, so Tosis quotes this very question. V'nir l'Rashba, Tosis quotes, when Tosis quotes the Rashba, that is not the Rashba that we're familiar with. The Rashba we're familiar with is the Sfardi Rashba, or Ben Shlomo Ben Aderes. Bali Tosis did not know who the Rashba was. They lived actually before the Rashba, most of them. They're referring to the Rabbeinu Shimshon, the Rashba, Shimshon and Avram, different person. Every once in a while, you see somebody ask the Kasha, so Stephen Rashba's, and you know, you have to tone down the question a little bit. It's a different person again. Nothing to do with each other. So it's a mistaken premise of a question. So another Rashba, the Afil Lefitaba Acharon, even if you say that the reason for B'dikas Chametz is because of Ba'yiraya, Tzorech Leimar, Techmir Chacham B'chol Chametz, says Tosfos, don't say what I just told you. I just created for you a whole Shtichel Torah, a whole model, that if B'dikas Chametz is based on Ba'yiraya Rabbi Matzah, ooh, I'll find you a Chametz that doesn't need B'dika, says Tosfos, that was nice, in theory. I mean, I didn't waste your time telling you to. The Ari Shana were going to say it, you know, down the line. So yeah, but Tosfos immediately dispels the entire shiur. Tosfos immediately dispels any distinctions between one reason of bedika versus another. Says Tosfos, if it's chametz, it needs bedika. I don't care what kind of chametz is. I don't care whether it's bayiradika chametz, nishbayiradika chametz, chametz, lo b'dilminei. No matter what the reason for bedika chametz is, chametz requires bedika. So the Rashba immediately dispels what we said, again, to be brought back to life by other Rishonim. But what is this chametz, by the way? What is this mysterious chametz that we're negotiating, that we're talking about, that maybe there's nobody Rabbi Matzah on it, and maybe we're lucky there's nobody gets chametz on it. What is it? So Tosfos gives you two examples. A feel of a chametz, nukshe v'yedei tarobes. So in a half a line, Tosfos makes a reference to the first two blot of the third parak of Maseches Pesachim. The opening Mishnah in the third parak of Maseches Pesachim talks about two different categories of low-level, potentially low-grade chametz. One of them is what's called chametz nuksha, and the other one that's called is tarobes chametz. Chametz nuksha is a little bit tricky. There are actually different kinds of chametz nuksha. We're going to, for our purposes, it's much easier for us. We're just going to give one of the examples of chametz nuksha, which is probably the primary example that's going to play out in our sugya. And that means chametz that has not quite reached chimutz gomor. Chimutz is a process. It involves taking flour from the five species of grain, mixing it with water, and having it sit together. Now, if it sits together for a very, very short amount of time, and then you bake it up, it's called matzah. If it sits together for a very, very, very long time, that's called chametz. But it doesn't happen like in a split second. It doesn't become, you know, flour and water touch, and all of a sudden you have a slice of pizza. That's not exactly what happens. It takes time. It takes a while. There's a chametz process. So Chazal tell us that the chametz process has certain physical characteristics to it. You can tell, if you know what you're looking for, you can actually tell whether the chametz process has begun, how far it has advanced. One of the ways of testing this is the Mishnayos in the end of the third parak, speaking about looking at cracks in the dough. I don't know too much about the science of chametz, but pretty much when the dough begins to expand, when the carbon dioxide emitted by the bacteria, and again, I don't want to say too much, it makes me sound like I'm foolish, but basically it's going to result to the human eye, those that are living for, the dough will begin to blow up, begin to expand, and it'll begin to crack. So the Mishnah speaks about, if I have a dough And it started first, otot starting to crack. So at what point do we say that it's mamish, mamish chametz? So there's an in-between stage. And that's what's called chametz nuksha. So kol zman that it hasn't cracked, or the dough hasn't begun to turn pale and colorless, whatever those early, early, early stages of chametz are. So I just throw it into the oven and bake it. And that's matzah. It's in that sugya that the Gemara tells us that for the first 18 minutes, you can assume that nothing's happened yet. That's what the Gemara says, that as long as you take flour and water, and it sits for a couple of minutes, and then you bake it right away, so you don't have to be worried. Even if you don't know what you're looking for, 18 minutes, nothing's going to happen at all. After 18 minutes, it doesn't mean that after 18 minutes, it's going to turn into a pumpkin. After 18 minutes, you can begin to develop trouble. Now, therefore, we wouldn't even dream of leaving a dough sitting around for more than 18 minutes because we don't want to begin to have trouble. But up until 18 minutes, you're safe. After 18 minutes, then the problems can begin to happen. They don't happen in a split second. They begin to happen gradually. So first, it starts to, the dough starts to rise, open up a little bit more, cracks start to develop, and it reaches that in-between stage called chametz nuksha. If you let it sit a little bit longer before baking it, then eventually it will deteriorate and become chametz gomer. If you stop it in that middle, you stop it at the point of chametz nuksha, throw it into the oven, so then it's not going to become chametz gomer. So what is it? I can't eat it. What is it exactly? So that's what's called chametz nuksha. That's a big machlokes ha-tanoim about what is the status of that prohibition of chametz nuksha. Everybody agrees, l'mais, I can't eat this chametz nuksha. Machlokes ha-tanoim, is that a nisa deraisa, is that a nisa derabanan? Why would somebody say it's only a nisa derabanan? Because it's not called chametz. The bottom line is it's not chametz. So why can't you eat it in a derabanan? I understand full well why. It's too close for comfort. So according to one Tana, the entire institution of this pre-chimut stage, Kolzman, that's not cracking at all, it's not turning colors at all, nothing's happened to the dough significantly. So that's matzah gemur, that's butlach archila. But Kolzman, that's starting the chimitz process, albeit not quite completed, that's the issa derabanan kol chametz nuksha. Then there's another Tana who says, no, the chametz nuksha is actually also midaraisa. But it's not called chametz, so why is it also midaraisa? It's also midaraisa. Because the Torah says kol machmetzos lo suchelu, and kol is a ribui. Kol comes to include even those things that are not quite really chametz. It hasn't met the threshold of being really chametz. It's still asur min haTorah. Kol machmetzos lo suchelu. But notice the Torah does not say you have courage for that. The Torah says kol machmetzos lo suchelu. It's a lav. The pasuk about chametz says ochel chametz. That's what the Gemara says, beginning the third paragraph of Psachim. Even if you hold that chametz nuksha, this in-between stage, is asur min haTorah, not everyone holds it away, but even according to that Tana who holds that it's asur min haTorah, it would not carry with it a punishment of courage. That's for sure. That everybody agrees to. So now you have this in-between chametz, assuming that it's deraisa. So we're going to work for now with the assumption it's deraisa. Not everyone agrees to that, but we're going to assume that's how we pass it. The chametz nuksha is in fact prohibited min haTorah, albeit without an issur kares. There was a further machlekes atenoim between Rashi and Rabbi Natan at the beginning of the third paragraph of Psachim. Would you violate Bayira Vayimatze on such quote unquote chametz? If I have this chametz sitting in my house on Pesach, is that a problem or not? Is that called Shivat Yom Sol? Is that called owning chametz in Pesach? So that was a big machlekes in Rishonim. So here Tosis is referencing the view of Rabbi Natan. Here Tosis is saying, according to the view of Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Natan was our Rebbeim. This is the Rashba. So the Rashba Shans was the Talmud of the Ri. The Ri was the Talmud of the nephew of Rabbeinu Tam. So it's only two generations after Rabbeinu Tam. So the later Balei HaTosfos are referencing the view of Rabbeinu Tam and saying, we follow Rabbeinu Tam that there's no Bayi Ravei Matze on Chametz Nuksha. So if so, one could have opened up the possibility, I can leave it around the house. What do I have to get rid of it for? What am I going to think it's Chametz for? It's only Chametz Nuksha. And there's no Bayi Ravei on it. Remember what it tells us to say in the last sugya? It tells us that in the second approach, if there's no bayiraya, then there's no reason to be machmir to do b'digas chametz b'dirabon, because they were only misak and b'digas chametz because it has the chumra bayiraya. So comes tells us and presents the possibility that maybe chametz looks, I can't eat it. I can leave it in the fridge. I can leave it in the closet. I can leave it on the table. Why not? What's wrong? So Tosfos says, you're right, maybe, no, you're wrong, says Tosfos. The middle of the Rashba, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's going to tell us the second reason that the Chmir Chom 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 Tzifir Chom Tzifir must be that Chazal or Misaken is almost like a low plug. Even though the reason din of Bedikas Chometz was Mikshum Chumas Chometz of Bayra, and that characteristic doesn't apply to Chometz Nukshik Kohen Shabbatam. It doesn't matter. So Alopful, they still asked it. Tosfos, of course, is assuming the whole discussion within the world of Rabbeinu Tam. Within the world of Rashi, when the beginning of the third parak holds that not only is it awesome in a Torah, the Chometz Nukshi, actually in violation by Rabbi Matze, then obviously this is a moot discussion. Obviously, we're not going to discuss the intricacies of should we make Bedikas Chometz or not, according to Rashi. Of course, you make Bedikas Chometz, because it's the same as regular chametz. Oh, no kares, okay, but that doesn't matter. According to Rashi, it's chametz. It's by Rabbi Matze on it. It's got all the lobedilim. It's got everything going against it, and therefore it should be the same as regular chametz. So at the end of the day, vis-a-vis Bedikas chametz, there's no machlokes Rashi or Benitam. Practically speaking, come get some Pesach Toshin Pe'alif, and you want to know, Rabbi, do I have to check for my chametz nukshe? The answer is absolutely. Vein levrash again the Rabbeinu Tam. At least that's how Tosfos presents it. Again, others are going to argue a little while later. So practically speaking, of course you have to check for your chametz nukshe. But there is enough Kamina Ladina between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam on the level of Deraisa. Is there a real Torah prohibition of owning chametz nukshe? So Rashi claims yes, and Rabbeinu Tam says no. So we're going to take a step back now. Before we can analyze Dinim Derabanan, we have to really take a step back and understand the Din Deraisa. What is this Machlagis all about? We have an important conceptual Machlagis. We have this new entity now sitting on the table called Chometz Nukshe. And we want to know, Rabbi, Tachlis, Minas Torah, Mesh Arenu, can I own it or can I not own it? Is this included when the Torah Kedusha says, Lo Yerolach Chometz Pachom Vulecha, when the Torah tells Bai Rabbi Matze, is this Chometz or is this not Chometz? The reason why this is a confusing question is because it has characteristics of both. It's like life. We always say that the black and whites, the extremes, are usually very, very easy to understand. That doesn't mean they're right, but extreme positions are very easy. When something has all characteristics of something, then it's obvious what to do with it. Something is lacking all characteristics, then it's also easy. I would imagine, I see a lot of people in the medical profession here. I imagine this is true in the world of medicine. A person comes in with all the symptoms of condition, what they call it a textbook case, so it's usually not that hard to diagnose. Person comes in with absolutely nothing, send them home. Problem is, sometimes people come in, I imagine sometimes people come in with mixed messages. It's not so easy, not so posh. It has certain characteristics of disease cloning, but it doesn't have all the symptoms of it. And now it's hard to tell. Is it fundamentally this disease, it's just missing a few pieces, or is it fundamentally something totally different that happens to be, you know, taking through other symptoms? So this is the same story when it comes to this Chometz Nukshe. What is it? In its heart and soul, is this really Batzmus or Chometz or not? So on the one hand, I can't eat it on Pesach min HaTorah. I'm asking my Shemaine's question. He says, you can't eat it on Pesach. It's called Kol Machmetz L'Sochelu. It's also to eat it. So this is very Chometz Dikka kind of an Isser. On the other hand, my Shemaine says, don't worry, you're not going to have Kares for it. Torah says, only Chometz Gomi you have Kares. Not have Kares. But Rabbi, I thought that Chometz carries with the Kares. Well, this particular item doesn't carry with the Chometz, Kares. So what is it? So it has the characteristics of Isser Achila. It's lacking the characteristic of Kares. So what is it? Is it fundamentally in its heart and soul chametz, almost like with a quirk, with a p'tur? It's chametz with a p'tur kares, or the absence of kares is indicative that this is not really chametz. Why can't I eat it on Pesach? I don't know why. It's an Isra Torah. It's an Isra Fnei Atzma. So what is the nature of Kol Machmetz? Is Kol Machmetz is putting it back into its fundamentally chametz, the Chol Dinei HaTorah, with a quirk that doesn't carry with the kares? Or is Kamachmetz L'Sochelu not going back to Yisro Chometz? It's actually almost like a 614th mitzvah. There's a new mitzvah not to eat Chometz Nukshe. We call it Chometz Nukshe because we have nothing else to call it. We call it Elmo, call it whatever you want to call it. We have to call it Chometz Nukshe. We don't know what to do with it. So this is a very, very alumnish question. How do you understand this category of Chometz Nukshe? What creates this problem in Halacha, this ambiguity, is because it has certain characteristics in one direction, other characteristics in another direction. So this is clearly the machlokes in Rashi that the Talmud is playing out. According to Rashi, it's mamish chametz. All the dini atarot chametz. Don't ask me a kasher from Kares. Kares is the answer in a cloud. But it has all the symptoms, all the characteristics of chametz, and therefore you're in violation by Rav Yehudah. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the exact opposite is true. The absence of Kares is the proof positive that it's not the real McCoy. This is not really considered to be chametz. So how would you test case this? How would you ever figure out what the answer to this question is? Because at the end of the day, it's also the end of the day is no curse. So how would you ever know is it by Rabbi Matzah? So an interesting way to tackle this question would be to almost leave Maseches Pesachim for a little while and maybe test case it in other areas of halacha. Because chometz happens to be something that is relevant in other areas of halacha as well. We always think of chometz in Hilchos Pesach. For us, that's all chometz means. But there are other areas of halacha where chometz plays a prominent role, particularly in the Beis Hamikdash, both in a good way and not such a good way. Let's say, l'mashal, there are certain karbanos that actually have to come from chametz. For example, the shtel lechem and shavuos, chametz tiafena, it has to be chametz. Could you conceive of bringing two loaves of chametz nukshef? I'm not sure what that would look like. It wouldn't be very fluffy and very, very nice looking, but could you be yaitze shtel lechem with chametz nukshef? Would that be included in chametz tiafena? Well, let's say, for example, a person brings a korban todah, so there are 40 different kinds of breads you have to bring. 30 of them are actually matzah, but 10 of them have to be chametz. Al chalos lechem chametz shavi korbano. In order to be yetzer the korban todah properly, 10 out of the 40 must be chametz. What if I brought 10 rolls baked out of chametz nuksha? So now the Beis Hamikdash is trying to analyze it. Is this chametz or not chametz? I want it to be chametz, but we're not sure this is called chametz. Well, let's say in the other direction. There are times when chametz is off-limits, actually more times than usual, but chametz is off-limits in the Beis Hamikdash, for example. You're not allowed to bring chametz on the Mizbeach. You're not allowed to put something chametz on the Mizbeach. Not only are you not allowed to put chametz on the Mizbeach, you're not even allowed to bake the menachos of chametz. Lo say of chametz, chal chametzat yisamishai. A korban mincha, even the part of the mincha that's eaten by the kohen, the shirayim of the korban mincha, are not allowed to be baked into chametz. Let's say you bring a handful of flour with the oil to the Beis Hamikdash, bring it to korban mincha, and you do your kmitzah, so part of it gets burnt on the Mizbeach, and then the rest is taken back by the kohanim, and they're about to sit down and eat the meal, and they want to bake it up and turn it into a challah roll. Sometimes you can do that. Lo si of a chametz, chacham nasat v'sam isha. It's an issa deraisa to bake it into chametz. What if I bake it? What if I prepare it into chametz nukshim? Is that called a violation of lo si of a chametz or not? So we have almost four different areas of halacha where chametz that plays a role, all mikdash oriented. One was vis-a-vis shtei lechem and shavuos. One was the lachmi toid of every day. One is the issa of putting chametz on the mizbech. And one is the issa of baking menachas as chametz, even the chenakar kahanim. What would we say about this? Would we say that this status of chametz nuksha is equated to chametz vis-a-vis all these halachas or not? So that would be a good test case to see, because that would clearly indicate one way or the other within this machlekes Rashi or Beit Tam. So if you take a look at the fourth of the Mar Makomot, it's actually the very beginning of Maseches Chul and Achav Gimel Beis. Boy Rabbi Zeira, ha'oyim ha'reilai lach mitoida min ha'chametz o min ha'matzah, ve'hevi seor. Seor should not be confused with seor. Seor in the Torah is what we usually translate as sourdough. The seor of the Chumash, not the seor of Chazal, but the seor without a yud, means something that flour and water is mixed together. It has become so chametz. It's been sitting together for days and days. It's become so shakua through and through chametz that it even has the ability to turn other things into chametz. That bakeries will take the old bakeries, the good old days. So they wanted to make something into chametz. They wanted to leaven the bread. So they would take sourdough. They would take previous pieces from old doughs and throw it in to get the process of chametz started. So that's the that's the seor of the Torah. That is like super duper duper chametz. Seor of Chazal with the yud is chametz duksha. Strange. Why exactly? I don't know exactly how the etymology of those words developed. That they almost have two different like contradictory meanings. But the seor of the chumash is the super duper chametz. The seor of Chazal is the lower level chametz, the chametz duksha. So the Gemara wants to know, a guy is supposed to bring lach metoida, and he goes there and he brings this sasir, but also then it brings us to chametz nuksha. So the Gemara, let's take a look at this last line. The Gemara says, "Midalachi alei chametzu." The Gemara says, "Wait a second. If you would eat this on Pesach, you'd be chay malchus. I.e., it's asim min haTorah." That's the Gemara's referencing the view of Rabbi Meir. The chametz nuksha is asim min haTorah. If you would eat this item on Pesach, you'd be chay malchus. You wouldn't be chay of course, be chay malchus. So the Gemara says, "What's the shaila? Midalachi alei chametzu." Those are the four magic words. Midalachi alei chametzu. Since you're chay of malchus on it, the game is over. Discussions of a case closed. Since you're chay of malchus on it, memela is considered to be chametz, and therefore you would be able to bring it as part of your lach mitoida, as the chametz part of your lach mitoida. This Gemara sounds very, very strong support to Rashi Shita. In those four words of the Gemara, the Loki Alechamitzu, it sounds like the Gemara is saying it very, very clearly that the Chiddush HaTorah of Kol Machmetzes is not a Did B'Frei Atzmai. It's not a brand Malacha, it is a B'Frei Atzmai. Kol Machmetzes is a Gilui, is revealing to me that this is Chametz. L'chol Dini HaTorah. Not only is it Chametz Agabi Pesach, it's Chametz Agabi Kabonis as well, and you can use it to be Yaitzei Lach B'Toida. According to Rebbeinu Tam, how do you read this Gemara? According to Rebbeinu Tam, Midalok Yalei Chametz is wrong. Midalok Yalei, Yechai Malkus, yes, it's also Rebbeinu Tam, it's Chametz Nish, it's not Chametz. Proof positive, according to Rebbeinu Tam, it's not Chametz. You're not over by Rebbeinu Motzai. So, L'chora, in these four words of the Gemara, Midalok Yalei Chametz, it sounds like the game's over. It's Chametz, it's Mamish Chametz, I don't want to say Chametz Gomer, because then you're Yechai Karis, but it's basically like Dinuk Chametz, the whole Dinuk HaTorah. So isn't this Gemara a proof positive for Rashi against Rebbeinu Tam? So if you take a look at the Tosfos in the fifth of the Rambam Kabbalah, so Tosfos asks this question. I'll pick it up on the third line. According to you, Rebbeinu Tam, this is the reason Rebbeinu Tam's nephew asking against his uncle. According to you, Rebbeinu Tam, how did the Gemara know that it's Chometz vis-a-vis Karbonus of Toda? Dilma Shani Chometz opposed to Rabbi Kolomalkos. That maybe it's a Chiddush HaTorah vis-a-vis Chometz, vis-a-vis Pesach, Yichai Malkus, but it's not Didik Chometz. Hooray, according to your Rabbeinu Tam, you're not over by Rabbi Matzah. V'yomer read the Hosam Nami Ika Shum Kra to Marbidin Minei Chometz Nuchshe. Says the read to defend his illustrious uncle, to defend Rabbeinu Tam. You're right. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not really Chometz. And we cannot extrapolate from Pesach to Karbonus. But there must be a pasuk that tells me that it's treated like chametz vis-a-vis lach b'toda. Also, it must be. There must be some pasuk out there. Otherwise, the question wouldn't have made any sense. So it's a very, very difficult textual answer to read because the Gemara doesn't identify this pasuk. The Gemara doesn't say a pasuk. The Gemara says, "How do I know that I can use it for lach b'toda? Because it's also on Pesach. That's the Lashon HaGemara. The Lachi Alei Chametzu. According to the read, that's not what it really what it means. What it means is, just as on Pesach, there's a pasuk to tell me that it's not really chametz and you still can't eat it, so too, there's a pasuk, which we don't know what it is, there's a pasuk, there's a drasha vis-a-vis Lach B'Toida, that must tell us that it's like chametz, even though it's not really chametz. That's quite a like there. That's quite a jump. The simple reading of the Gemara doesn't sound that way. The simple reading of the Gemara sounds the Lachi Alei Chametz. It sounds like it's a direct cause, direct correlation. If it's Chametz, then it's Dinuk Chametz, the Chol Dini HaTorah, and therefore we can jump over. We don't need a pasuk by Lach B'Toda. But Rebbeinu Tam's pshat in the Gemara, you have to say it, otherwise Rebbeinu Tam is not correct. So we still have a running machlekes Rashi Rebbeinu Tam. What is Chametz Nukshin? Is it Chametz or is it not Chametz? Everyone is agreeing to all the facts in the ground. Everyone agrees you can't eat it on Pesach. Everyone's agreeing, I mean, not everyone, but within our world. Everyone agrees you can't eat it. Everyone agrees you have malchus. Everyone agrees you're not chayav karis. Everyone agrees you can use it for lach b'toda. And we're not sure what to make of all those didim. So Rashi says the rationale behind all of the above is it's chametz, 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 chametz. Shh, don't tell anyone there's no karis. The Rosh will give you a break. Don't you? Rosh will be like, give me a karis, don't ask for an extra karis. But is it chametz? It's chametz, the chol din yeter. And therefore, by Rabbi Matzah, it carries over. According to Rabbi Tam, no. The absence of chorus is the proof positive. That's the only factor that matters. If it doesn't have that symptom of chorus, it means it's not chametz. You can't eat it. Don't ask any cash. That's a possible. You can bring it for lach b'toda. Don't ask me too many cash. It's a possible also. Everything's about, everything's exerts a chorus. But it's hard. It's not chametz. So l'chora, this Rashi Rebbeinu Tam should have been informed for b'dikas chametz. Because according to Rebbeinu Tam, we could have conceived of no b'dikas chametz. So don't forget the Rashi said, even that's not true. Rashba said, even according to Rebbeinu Tam, the incident of Bdikas Chometz, but that's going to change very, very quickly. But I call upon him, at least we have a little bit of a background, the beginnings of a background as to what must make, what is Chometz Nukshah? So we have this running Machlekes Rashi Rebbeinu Tam, what is and what it's not, and that's going to set the stage, is there going to be a mitzvah of Bdikas Chometz? Next year, we'll try to continue along these lines.